Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association.
Hey, welcome back to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. I'm Tim Wildman with Dr. Ray Pritchard. Good morning, Ray.
Good morning, Tim. How are you?
Ray's with us, doing fine. Ray's usually in Dallas, but he's in Tupelo today doing the show live with us in studio. Walker, anybody watching on our Today's Issues Facebook page, Walker?
Yes, several people are watching. Thus far, we've had over 1,000 viewers come through. A lot of
no
people
kidding.
Pass through, watch for a few minutes, and they have other things to do.
Why would you pass through? Why wouldn't you just stop and watch?
Well, people have other things
to do. They have lives?
They do. They can't sit and watch T.I. for an hour and a half every day, I guess.
Somebody just, one of the comments, what does Walker have on today? People are interested in our apparel, right?
Yeah. Walker had a suit and tie on yesterday.
I did.
Sports coat yesterday, and he got a lot of compliments on being dressed for the part.
This is Casual Tuesday, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, my
casual.
Wife told me she liked my sports coat, so I wore it. And then today we have a board meeting.
Right.
So I decided to wear my button-up.
Looked very nice.
All right, Steve Jordahl is with us. Steve is with the news team there at OneNewsNow.com and American Family Radio News. Veteran newsman Steve Jordahl was with Family News in Focus for how many years?
10 years with Family News.
The voice of Family News in
one
Focus.
One of the voices. One of the voices. Yeah.
All right, Steve, where do you want to take us first today?
Why don't we start with an update on the California fires that are burning right now, just having a hard time getting a handle on those things. The biggest one they're calling the Thomas Fire is burning north of Los Angeles in the Ventura County area. It is, as of this morning, was at over 234,000 acres, and at this point, it's only 20% contained, although that's 20% more than it was yesterday at this time. Close to 900 structures have been destroyed, including 683 single-family homes. Mm. And 18,000 more are threatened. There are tens of thousands of people, I think maybe even hundreds of thousands of people that have been evacuated in the line of this fire. The other fires down there, they seem to be doing better with. The Lilac Fire down in San Diego County is 92% contained. The Skirball Fire in Bel Air, that's the one that's eaten up all the rich and famous houses, is at 85% contained. The Creek Fire up in Sylmar is 98% contained. The Rye Fire is 96% contained near Santa Clarita. And the Liberty Fire in Riverside County out east of Los Angeles is 100% contained. So
let me ask you this, Steve. I'm sitting here looking at the map of the fires.
Yeah.
And the big fire is north of L.A., right?
It is. Yes.
It's north of L.A., Ventura, Santa Barbara.
It's between Ventura and Santa Barbara. It's going north. It started down near Ventura, near the bottom, it would be the east end of that fire. It started down near Ventura, and then it slowly is making its way west, or what, if you're thinking of California's north and south, it would be north, towards Santa Barbara. And they're not saying that Santa Barbara's out of the woods.
Well, my question is, and by the way, you can see the smoke from space.
Yeah.
I saw one of our astronauts the other day took a picture. You can see the smoke rising from space from the fires in Southern California. Would a fire in California normally move west and north?
Generally.
Because of the winds?
Because of the winds.
Okay, that's what I'm asking, because if you were to take this fire and you started moving south and east, then you're talking about getting into heavy population areas of L.A. Mm-hmm. I've been to Southern California like three times. Ray, you lived out there for what?
Right, 5 years.
5 years. Some parts of it are desert, so there's not, around Los Angeles, there's not anything to burn, per se. It's just, like prairie, doesn't seem to be.
But as Steve's pointed out, this is just generally an arid region, so the problem is that it's not getting much water,
okay,
not getting much rain. So even though It's true. There's desert out there. Once the fire starts, there's nothing natural to stop it until the rains come.
Just about. And, of course, the reason, one of the other reasons besides the winds that it didn't go down into Ventura is because that's where the fire started. And the first thing I'm sure they did was build a big, huge break so that didn't get into Ventura. And they tried to hopefully tried to force it northward. They just are having a hard time getting a handle on it.
Steve, do you think after all this this season of fires is gone, if there is a season, is there a season where this is particularly?
It's generally the summer and the fall when it's it's hot and
whenever
dry.
They can recover from this, is there not anything they can do to prevent? Like, I know you've been talking about the breaks. Basically, you cut a big gap in the wilderness of just barren land. That way, the fire can't jump from one patch of woods to the other. Can you do that across California to at least contain these?
They do have those kind of breaks in the mountains and the forests that are particularly prone. Here, though, we're talking about it's not strictly forest. It's going through all types of terrain.
Right.
It's going through neighborhoods.
And it's private property.
It's private property. So. Well, and I'm sure that the private property owners would not mind if there was some sort of a break in it. But no, there's battles that go on, political battles that go on with logging and maintenance. And I think I might have said this yesterday. It's particularly bad this year because ironically enough, because of all the rain they had last year. They had a record amount of rainfall in California last year.
A lot more vegetation.
It just sprung up. John Steinbeck he was writing in one of his books about the Salinas area, which is up north toward the Bay Area. And he talks about in the summertime, the ground shouts the grass out. I love the phrase that Steinbeck used. But that's kind of basically what happens. It just this grass and burnable material just springs up, and it's everywhere.
Didn't Governor Brown say something to the effect, we got to get used to this now, that fire is now the new normal for California?
Yeah, he said a couple things in that. So he's basically laying this at the feet of global warming. He's blaming President Trump for pulling out of the Paris Agreement. Somehow it's already caught up with California. And by the way, he noted that the president doesn't fear God.
Noted theologian Jerry Brown.
Noted theologian Governor Moonbeam. there you go.
He said the president doesn't fear God?
That's right. He said the president doesn't fear God because he's destroying God's
creation
apparently.
Does anybody seriously believe is he really? Are you stretching the truth here?
No, that's what he said.
That's what he
Steve's
said.
Correct.
Is he really blaming the fires on President Trump?
I don't think he's blaming.
Not directly.
He's not blaming.
He's not saying Trump started them.
No. And I don't know that if you sat him down and asked him that he would be able to literally say that this fire season has anything to do with pulling out of the Paris Accords.
Maybe he's saying that this is. It's going to lead to more fires because President Trump doesn't agree with the Paris global warming.
Something that humans could do somehow, I'm not sure what it would be, would cause either more rain or...
I get confused, though, because it seems like every natural disaster is because of climate change.
Right.
You know, whether it's a drought or too much rain, both of them are climate change.
Hurricane or a snowstorm.
It's all climate change.
They got it both ways. That's why they changed from global warming to
climate change.
Climate change, because then they take credit for everything.
Right. Yeah.
Disasters, I see there.
Yeah.
Global warming.
Climate change.
Too much emissions.
Yeah, they were having a hard time when they were doing global warming. They, for some reason, leading up to like 7 or 8 years ago, they had all their conferences surrounding global warming in cold weather climates when it was snowing. I can't tell you how many things I reported on where there was snow falling around them where they were trying to drone on about global warming.
This is not catching on with the majority of the American people. I know there's a significant percentage of Americans who say global warming you know, something they really care about. But most people, they don't, and they don't see, you know, they don't see the connection here. President Trump, what he said, he wants, at the speech he gave, I guess it was Friday night, he said, "I want clean water, I want clean air, like everybody else."
Sure.
I'm paraphrasing. Mm-hmm. He said, "But this Paris Global Climate Change Agreement," he said, "all that was, well, the only purpose that would serve is to destroy American businesses while everybody else gets to wait. Everybody else around the world gets to wait or delay mm-hmm. or not have to comply yeah. like we would. So we're tying our hands while everybody else doesn't have to." And he said, "I'm not going to sign something like that."
Yeah.
So
exactly.
Anyway, next up, next topic.
Let's talk about the media.
Let's do.
I have been amazed of late how much stuff that the media is just plain getting mm-hmm. wrong. And it is because of their desire to nail Donald Trump, their mm-hmm. hatred for Donald Trump. And I've
not picked up on that.
You should pay more attention.
It's just come up in the last 24, 48 hours. It's a brand new deal.
If you listen closely, you can hear the sound of people throwing darts at a Trump a billboard or something. But I have in front of me a compendium of no less than 9 different scandals, really, if you want to call it that, yeah. that it should be. The media has done. It starts with the Associated Press reporting last Monday that the Pentagon had defied President Trump by announcing it would allow transgender people to enlist in the military. Well, turns out that wasn't exactly right. The Associated Press got it wrong. Basically, the Defense Department says they would honor or at least respect the court order mandating this change. So it wasn't one hand of the right. executive branch slapping the other. Then CNN, MSNBC, and CBS all put out the same story on Trump and the Russia investigation. This was the one where they got the date wrong. And they said that WikiLeaks had forwarded a bunch of material that was on collusion to Donald Trump. It was a bunch of Hillary's emails, actually. And the DNC emails, they forwarded them to him and gave him a special password. They said on September 4th, but really it was September 14th, a day after it had been made public to everybody. And then ABC had to suspend its chief investigative reporter, Brian Ross, because he reported that General Michael Flynn was prepared to testify as a candidate. Donald Trump directed him to make contact with the Russians. Well, no, it didn't. It was President-elect Donald Trump, and it was in the normal course of what you do when right. you're taking the office.
That was a major deal, right? A major mistake.
Well, and the reason we say it was a major mistake is because it's one of the only ones where the network actually held them accountable.
Right.
They suspended mm-hmm. Brian Ross, ABC, to ABC's credit. Mm-hmm. The New York Times blew its coverage of a KT McFarland email when it said that the deputy national security advisor conceded in a private email that Russia tipped the 2016 presidential election. Well, she never really said that. At most, she said it would be worth looking into how much they may have affected it. And then Orrin Hatch was reported as saying he wanted poor people to die. When he talked about
that's a political
reform.
Loser right there.
I know.
Having that stand.
That's right.
I'm pretty sure.
That's
I
right.
would read.
He's not a winner.
Turns no, out he didn't.
Take that off your platform.
Yeah, I would definitely rethink that one.
Turns out he didn't say that. And then there's Robert Mueller, who was the Bloomberg and the Wall Street Journal reported that Robert Mueller was going to, was subpoenaing the bank records of President Trump from Deutsche Bank. And mm-hmm. that didn't happen. And then
that's a big falsehood too. Then who made that report?
That was Bloomberg and the Wall Street Journal that misreported that.
They're generally considered political.
And then just yesterday we found out. Do you remember when Jeff Sessions was taken to task because he left some information on a disclosure form off? He didn't report on some contacts he had with Russia. Ah, they've got him. They said. Well, it turns out that according to the FBI, he didn't have to put those disclosures there in the first place, and he said as much at the time. Nobody really reported that. And this is what I love. This is my favorite, probably, of them all. While everybody was tuning in to the news yesterday, while this horrific terror attack that misfired in New York City, which could have been so much worse, mm-hmm. a half hour into that scandal, at the height of where everybody was trying to get the facts right and they were on scene, if you tuned in, let me get my paper straight, if you tuned in to CNN, you would have heard this, cut four.
This is not, okay, what doctors would recommend. This is not the healthiest diet. However, obviously, President Trump seems to have boundless energy. So what does your reporting suggest?
Well, some of that energy is obviously caffeine. And you know, it may sometimes depend on the supply of Diet Coke.
Well, there you go. So that's what you heard. And if you switched over by chance to, I think it was MSNBC, you would have heard this. Cut five, Brent.
The stat in your piece, 4 hours of TV a day, so he's like an average American, only he's also president. Just walk us through how that time commitment, 4 hours a day, well, impacts
it's actually
the workflow.
4 to 8.
Sorry,
hours
4 to 8, at least 4 hours a day. How does that impact the workflow of a White House?
It's not always on. Let's see. The volume isn't always up. Sometimes it's just on mute.
This is what you would have heard on those networks.
You're
while
saying,
the
while
world was. This is in
right
the middle.
Right after the report, right after the attack in New
in
York.
In the middle of the scurry to get information about this attack, it had happened a half an hour before. Right. These reports were on the air.
And there's a lot of happy talk and chatter going, and they don't sound concerned at all.
It was not good. And this is why when you came to the White House press briefing yesterday, you had this exchange between Sarah Sanders, the White House press secretary, and CNN's Jim Acosta.
And I would just say, Sarah, that journalists make honest mistakes, and that doesn't make them fake news. But the question that
I have...
But
when journalists make honest mistakes, they should own up to them. Sometimes, and a lot of times you don't. But there's a difference. There's a very big... I'm sorry. I'm not finished. There's a very big difference between making honest mistakes and purposefully misleading the American people, something that happens regularly. You can't say, I'm not done. You cannot say... You cannot say... that it's an honest mistake when you're purposely putting out information that you know to be false.
This is not the line of questioning that I was going down, but can you cite a specific story that you say is intentionally false, that was intentionally put out there to mislead the American people?
Sure, the ABC report by Brian Ross, I think that was pretty misleading to the American people.
Sarah,
Jim?
If I may, though, I was going to ask a question about something else.
Well, you used it on something else.
Sarah,
Jim?
If I may,
Sarah,
I think it's we're going to keep moving, guys.
If I can ask about the president's accusations.
I'm moving to a different Jim, I'm sorry.
I know, but I didn't get it.
Is Jim Acosta, is he a CNN?
Yeah.
Is that his name, Acosta?
Jim Acosta.
Do you think it's just him and Sarah in the room?
Apparently. Okay. And she just shut him down. She just said at the end there, I'd like to go back to my original question. She said, sorry, you used your question.
That's right.
Moving on. And he tried to ask, and she just ignored him.
Yeah. Well,
she's so good.
We talked to the last half hour with Sandy Rios about the political agenda that is the special counsel investigation and all the reasons for that being – you know, clearly politicized. And now, of course, this is nothing new with people, the American people, they know that they're out to get President Trump every day. And, you know, it was so interesting last night. I was watching, listening to somebody, who was it? Anyway, they were commenting on, I think it was on Laura Ingraham's show, and she was interviewing somebody about this, and they basically said that the liberal news media hates President Trump so bad. I mean, that they can't see things objectively anymore. You know what I'm saying? They want to believe the worst, and they're quick to report on what they think is something that's going to damage him. And so they're not going through their normal steps, their normal standards, or their whatever that is. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, no, it's absolutely true. We saw... I noted in my reporting the difference between the way the press treated President Bush and the way they treated President Obama. It was apparent then, but what's happening now, even the way they treated President Bush, which was poorly, It doesn't hold a candle to what they're doing now to President Trump. There were not these errors, these false stories with President Bush. They might tend to pick on things that weren't important. They talked to, you know, a lot about broccoli or whatever it was.
Well, part of the reason for that, of course, they hate President Trump's agenda, his political views, which are basically conservative. Maybe not, they're sometimes libertarian, but basically conservative. So they hate that part of him, his agenda. But President Trump, unlike anybody else in history, when they go after him, he punches them back in the nose.
Yeah.
And he gets people like Sarah there, who I don't know her personally, who's also going to punch them back. So they don't like that. They've never been treated that
right.
way.
Mm-hmm. He doesn't play by their rules.
No.
But President Bush largely did.
Yes, he did.
But President Trump does not.
Yeah, President Bush, I remember watching an interview with him. I'm talking about the last President Bush, not the first one. He basically said, listen, the liberal media or the news media is going to say what they want. I can't be fighting with them all the time. I just don't answer them, or I don't have time for that. I've got to be president. Right. That's the conventional, traditional view of the presidency. It's above the fray, so we're not going to comment on everything, even if we feel like we're being done wrong by the news media. President Trump, nope, quite the opposite. He's going to call you fake news, he's going to point it out, and he's going to fight back. Next up, Steve, what's next?
Let's end this session with something from the Snowflake file.
Hey, 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 Snowflake.
Snowflake.
My pretty little snowflake.
Thank you, Jim Reeves. It seems that people at UMass, University of Massachusetts in Amherst, are stressed these days. They've got finals coming up. They've got to protest things, and they've got to, you know, do all kinds of things that students have to do. They're searching for safe spaces and such.
They're just very upset.
It is. Well, it's stressful.
Yeah, stressful. That's a better word.
So somebody helpfully put up a board to help relieve them of their stress. And what are they using? Care Bears.
No.
You remember the Care Bears?
Yeah,
of
sure.
Your grandkids probably watched. Yes, there is a, and I'll pass this around. You can, this is from.
I need some Care Bear.
You need some Care Bear?
That's right. It's been a stressful day.
Yeah. It's, yeah, so they have a different, you know, if you are stressed out, you can read this poster of what the Care Bears would tell you to do. And UMass students are, I'm sure, feeling a lot more relaxed. And
well, one says, make time for fun.
Yeah.
The other says, promote a nutritious and healthy diet.
Why don't we spend a whole show just going through all this? Bring in healthy snacks.
We could.
Teddy bears.
Do a little yoga.
A little yoga. That's right.
A little yoga. Stretch a little bit. Breathe.
Yeah. Will we wear our tights?
Yeah. No, I don't think so.
Okay.
Wow.
You go first. The young guy goes first.
Yeah, I think the FCC would prohibit
it. That's right. We'd be off the air.
We would even offend radio listeners if we were wearing tights. That's how bad it would
The very thought of it is too shocking.
Surround yourself with supportive people.
Is that what another Care Bear says?
Yeah.
That's really. Group hug. Let's group hug here. All right, we're out of time. Thank you for that snowflake report.
You're welcome. If you have a snowflake file, send it to snowflakes@afa.net.
With an S?
With an S. snowflakes@afa.net, and I'll hopefully we'll use it.
All right, Steve Jordahl, thank you so much. And Ray.
Thank you, Tim.
Walker.
Yes, sir.
We appreciate you listening to the program today and each and every day. Bible teaching of Dr. Alistair Begg is up next, followed by Janet Mefford, and then on with your day here on American Family Radio. Take care, everybody. We shall see you back here tomorrow.